A decision that we were just talking about there by the Nationals to oppose an Indigenous voice to Parliament has ignited a bitter argument amongst some Indigenous leaders. The Nationals have been accused of making their decision prematurely, with details on the voice and a date on the referendum yet to be released. But the government says this isn't a major blow for the campaign. Former Minister for Indigenous Australians Ken White is now a member of the referendum working group. Of course, he was Indigenous Affairs Minister in the Morrison government right up till May, and he's our guest this morning. Ken White, welcome.
It's good to be with you, Patricia.
How
Even
disappointing.
It's early in WA.
Yes, yes. Well, I've missed talking to you, Ken White, so it's lovely to speak to you. How disappointing is this stance by the Nationals?
Actually, it's extremely disappointing. When I saw David deliver his answers through media, what really impacted on me was the fact that we've got to think about the voices of Aboriginal people, because the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths and Custody in 1987 made similar commentary about listening and working and deciding with Aboriginal people. The Uluru dialogue says the same, but the other more important one that our government at the time commissioned was The Voice. And there's four pages that if people read them, they would understand the detail. And it's pages 15 to 19, which spells out the principle-based approach, the scope, how does it work in practice, and what are the steps do we need to do to get there. And then the relationship with government, which doesn't impinge on the sovereignty of the Australian Parliament. Now, I took this report to Cabinet twice. So people who were ministers at the time would be fully aware of this report, and what is obvious with the National Party is they have not read the report and have not given an Aboriginal voice to Parliament an opportunity to be aired and to be listened to and to be implemented.
Ken Wyatt, you've just told us that a detailed plan of what a voice would look like you took to your cabinet twice, and you're saying ministers who are now opposition, of course, people, had the chance to look at that detail.
Yes, they have, and they should still have those reports if they've kept their ministerial papers.
So what are you saying, that the detail is actually before them?
Yes, it is. Look, what people are doing is hooking on to just elements of the Uluru dialogue. But the Uluru dialogue was an important step in raising national consideration around the status that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people experience and live every day. And I hear the derogatory term elites. The elites are only champion, as people are putting it, elites. They are champions for Aboriginal people to have a better outcome in life. And the closing the gap targets that I took through our cabinet and through national cabinet and through every state and territory parliament cabinet are the same 17 target areas that the Royal Commission argued for and recommended should be addressed if we were going to change the lives of Aboriginal Australians. So we have failed on multiple fronts, and I am not hearing from the Nationals solutions to the complexities of the problems that still sit there with Aboriginal people on the ground.
So twice you took this model. Do you think that model should form what the voice looks like? Of course, it would be up to legislation. And do you know if Peter Dutton's read that detail?
Look, I'm not going to be presumptuous and say that colleagues have read it, but I would like to think that the efforts of 9,000 plus Indigenous Australians, plus our Uluru Dialogue participants and every Aboriginal person who contributed to the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody were known by members of the Australian Parliament. There's goodwill in the Australian Parliament. But because I find that sometimes the Aboriginal issues are problematic, and so often the presumptuous nature of what will work for Aboriginal people on the ground gets in the way of co-design and co-deciding on what's best at the community level.
There is one of the main things we keep hearing, though, Ken White, is there's no detail. There's no detail. We'll decide when there's detail. You're telling me the detail's there.
Look, I would tell everybody, go to the National Indigenous Australian Agency, download the report on The Voice, and look at the pages I've just recommended, pages 16 to 17, that is the detail. Now, the legislative detail, if it reflects the model that our people have raised in the various reports, is put into place, then there is no excuse to say you do not know the detail.
So is it your view that this detail, you say it's laziness, do you think this argument about detail, when the Parliament will ultimately decide anyway, is being used as an excuse?
I think it's being used as an excuse. And to my mind, it offers up a level of immaturity around a very complex issue, because even in listening to my former colleague, David, saying they want pragmatic approaches, I when I went out to communities, Indigenous people had not had ministers come to their communities and sit their butts down in the red dirt and listen to people. They went to organisations which suited them. Now, I would challenge, and as I did when I was in the House, I challenged every federal member to get out of their offices, go to the Aboriginal organisations within their electorates, sit and listen to the issues, see firsthand what Aboriginal people are talking about, because they're talking about those 17 targets within the Closing the Gap strategy. And I want media people to read those pages as well, so that they're much more informed than what I've been hearing in some quarters. I even offered a journalist an opportunity of sitting with them and walking them through those pages so that they understood it, because they were saying the same thing. We don't know the detail. Just learn to read.
So what's next? If the detail is there, and now the Nationals have said no, the Liberals haven't yet made that determination. You were a strong advocate inside of the former government. What do you say to the Liberals? What's your message, and I know they're listening, to your Liberal colleagues listening right now?
I would say to all members of the Australian Parliament, including the National Party, because you have an opportunity to go back and revisit that decision, look at working together to change the direction that Aboriginal people currently experience. A lot of the Commonwealth programs have been put into place, but they're not having the impact. I see an industry being built up around our Aboriginal communities. And the comment of one size doesn't fit all and there's no cookie cutter is a presumption that what hasn't been tried won't work. Because let me tell you, most Commonwealth government programs have not achieved closing the gap in those 17 targets. And we were working closely to involve Aboriginal people, to co-design, co-decide and be part of the process. And by the way, the report also makes it very clear that Aboriginal people consulted, over 9,000, the work that Marcia and Tom did not want a return to the ATSIC model. They just wanted an opportunity to have their issues about water contaminated with nitrate salts or uranium salts or calcium to be addressed by governments and not
Ken Wyatt,
drink water like that.
Ken Wyatt, we're out of time, but I'd love it if and you could come back on the program to have a longer conversation about this. Our listeners are very interested in what you have to say. Thank you for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure, Patricia.
Ken Wyatt, former Minister for Indigenous Australians in the Morrison government.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.